there's a lot of feeling of that it's inevitable. So we did a longitudinal study where we looked at people with depression with MS, and we told them if we thought they were depressed, and if they wanted to see somebody to do about it, they should contact their GP and so forth. And then we saw them a year later, and most hadn't contacted their GP. Now, we're not precisely looked and asked them why they didn't follow up on the diagnosis, but we do know from qualitative studies and interviewing that a lot of people think, well, of course I'm going to be depressed, I've got MS, it's inevitable.
So besides feeling helpless, why else would they not seek treatment for depression?
Well, I think there's the same thing. A lot of people with depression in the community who aren't affected by neurological illnesses don't seek treatment because of stigma, perhaps. It might even be financial concerns of going to see a psychological therapist, although there are Medicare-funded and bulk bill practices and so forth.
So yeah, like walk me through how you might treat someone who doesn't have multiple sclerosis compared to someone who does have the disease.
Okay, so someone who does have the disease, if they're early stage, they don't have many cognitive problems or physical problems and so on, you pretty much treat them the same way as somebody else. But once people are challenged physically and cognitively, you need to modify, for instance, the activities you ask them to do, because they may not be able to do the things they used to do. So when you're doing something called behavioral activation, when you're trying to get people back in line of doing things that they can still do and get pleasant experiences and mastery from, you'd have to be very careful about the tasks you set people with that. Also, sometimes when you're talking about, say, coping with things with somebody who's losing concentration and so on, have to be less abstract in the way you talk to people and so on. So more concrete, and talk about dealing with the challenge of MS rather than why they have to have the healthcare.
I understand that there is a link between pain and depression. Is that it? Is it the pain, or is it the disease? Is the actual MS, like the lesions within the body, do you think causing the neurological association with depression?
I think that's a big challenge. There is almost certainly some organic pathology, some brain changes that contribute to depression. And also, as we say, there's very clear adjustment challenges that people make. So it's probably partly organic for some people and partly psychological, and more or less for different individuals. What's interesting, I guess, about psychological treatments is there's studies, not particularly in MS, but generally, that show that if you do psychological therapies, there can be brain changes as well. So just because it's physical doesn't mean you treat it with medication. Just because it's psychological doesn't mean you can treat it psychologically. And that's why sometimes a combination works best, particularly with more severely disordered people.
And also, I know associated with depression, there's this feeling of hopelessness, you know? Yeah. I know with MS, there's no necessarily like straight up, I can walk into a hospital and get a cure. Does that play a role in their associated with depression, this idea of like, oh, I have MS and I'll, you know, probably have it forever?
It is one thing that isn't curable at this point in time. And a sense of hopelessness is a very important point to make, because hopelessness has got a big connection with suicidal ideas and suicidal behaviours and acts. And I think that's a real warning sign when people have that sort of presentation for us. It's very important to deal with that. And it's kind of like, if you make your whole world your MS, and that's a deteriorative condition, as most often it is, where's that going to lead you? And do you need to make it your whole world? So, for instance, someone who's feeling very hopeless will stop doing everything that they used to do, because what's the point? I'm going to get MS. It's just going to get worse and worse. Whereas someone else has said, okay, I'm going to live in the moment. I'm going to enjoy the things I can still do while I can do. And I'm going to plan for my future, so it makes it as comfortable and as much as I can.
People with MS probably can't go see their GP, or some of them at least might not be able to go see the doctor. Do you make house visits? How does you go about that?
Oh yeah, there is ability to do house calls, I think even under Medicare, as long as you're doing face-to-face treatments. One of the exciting things I think about Medicare is we're hoping, or if it hasn't happened already, that people are allowed to do over the internet, so Skype type therapy and so on. And that's a huge boon for people with MS, because often they've been in jobs where they understand IT, they've used computers and stuff, they're computer literate, and this saves a whole lot of access issues if they're severely disabled. And also, you know, you can tape those things so they can go over them, so they can remember things. So I think the technology is going to be a great assist to psychological therapy for people with MS.
What are your challenges as a psychologist?
Well, I think general challenges dealing with things that may perhaps affect you or your family and so on, that, you know, we're all vulnerable to physical illness, so that's a particular challenge. In terms of the provision of therapy, I think it's dealing with the fact that people have, as you say, a deteriorative course almost certainly. For instance, if I in my practice I saw someone whose wife had left him and he was very upset at the time. You know, you could provide him with therapy and he'd go off into the sunset into a new relationship and so on. That doesn't happen with MS. You know, people are living with it day to day and it is an ongoing, often deteriorative process. So the goals you set with people have to be more reasonable in that. And you've very much got to allow the very real grief for the losses that are there for all to see.
Are there success stories though?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I think that's the reason we provide these therapies, because we do know that they work for people despite the very real challenges of MS.